This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules. I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Sabres Sens tomorrow. And Sabres fans, you can now vote on this season's Rick Martin Memorial Award, awarded to the player who best embodies on-ice excellence, resilience, and dedication to community. Visit sabres.com/RICO. That's R-I-C-O. To vote today. Welcome back on Sabres Live. We'll get to action upcoming momentarily, but on the heels of last segment and wow, hot teams around the NHL. St. Louis Blues, Marty. This is insane. I joked with you off air last week after they had won their 8th in a row. I said, yeah, well, good luck to the Blues. They're going into Colorado. And they won. 2-1. They've won 9 in a row. They are 16-2-2 in their last 20 to sit still in wild card 2 in the West.
Well, I mean, they could be in wild card 1 because they are tied with the Minnesota Wild right now at 87 points, although the Wild have a game in hand. But if you would have told me last week that the St. Louis Blues are going to catch the Minnesota Wild, I would have said, I believe you. Maybe in the last week of the season, not before April 1st. So that's the biggest thing. Jim Montgomery even said after they beat the Colorado Avalanche, he said, you know what? We're on a hot streak right now. Like, I mean, there's no denying, right? They are playing extremely well as a team. They're getting excellent goaltending. Bennington's been playing well, but Joel Ofer's not been too shabby either. And yes, Minnesota is going to get Erickson Ek and Kirill Kaprizov back at some point. They both practiced with their team over the weekend, but there's no timetable just yet. But I'm looking at this, and if I am the Winnipeg Jets, just say, and I'm looking at who am I going to play in the first round of the playoffs, the you know, St. Louis or Minnesota, I'm thinking right now Minnesota is going to slip into wild card 2 and St. Louis is going to be wild card 1 before the end of the year. I mean, that's how hot and how good St. Louis have been playing.
Minnesota at New Jersey tonight among games in the NHL. Calgary is at Colorado, and this goes back to the discussion, the question you prompted me with last week about would you rather have points in the bank or games in hand? Yeah, let me tell you, it starts feeling ugly and high pressure for the Flames when you realize you have to win every single game in hand and still hope that you're going to find a way to get past the St. Louis Blues.
The odds for the Flames and the Canucks to make it have now gone to almost zero. And the Flames maybe have a little bit more light at the end of that tunnel because they have 2 games in hand on the Wild and 3 on the Blues. Yeah. But I still think that if you're the Calgary Flames, you're not catching the Blues. Like, the Blues are too hot. You have to look at the Wild. The Vancouver Canucks lost to the Jets yesterday 3-1. They took a 1-0 lead. They lost to the Jets. And I almost feel like that is the end of the road for the Canucks. Unfortunately, they have 8 games left. If they go 6-2, they get to 93 points, which would mean that the Wild and the St. Louis Blues only have to play 500 hockey, basically, or a little bit more, but they'll get to 93. And the Canucks have Dallas, Vegas twice, and Colorado, I think, in those 8 games left. So they have to go almost perfect against those as well. Like, I just think the Canucks are too little, too late, and it's not going to happen.
And then Calgary, obviously, as mentioned, up against Colorado tonight. What do you make of the incredible Battle of Alberta Saturday? Like, the Oilers are so decimated right now, injury-wise. Draisaitl comes back. maybe sooner than some thought, whatever. He has a three-point game in a 3-2 overtime win where he scores the late tire with just over 3 minutes left, and then the overtime winner, goals 50 and 51 on the season. This guy, at age 29, is a four-time 50-goal scorer. And if we're going to continue to live in this world and talk about, I never could have imagined this, i.e. Ovechkin, soon to pass Gretzky, mm-hmm. like Leon's got four 50-goal seasons at age 29. Yeah. Could we not see Leon Draisaitl have eight 50-goal seasons and then only be one away from the record held by Bossy, Gretzky, and Ovechkin?
I think it's possible. Look, Leon Draisaitl is not considered a sharp shooter by any means. You think about the sharp shooters, you're thinking Austin Matthews is a sharp shooter, right? You're thinking of the years of Ovechkin and Stamkos, and Draisaitl is just a little bit different. I'll tell you this, the 50th and the 51st goal of his season, they were sharp shooting moments. Moments where you're like, how does this go in? And it's the way that he releases the puck, that it slides off the stick. He beats Dustin Wolf, who was having a fantastic game. Unbelievable game. And it looks like he made him look like silly in the way that he shot the puck and scored both instances. Yeah, and for that reason, you know, I know that there's going to be a lot of debate when it comes down to the MVP, the Hart Trophy at the end of the year. You know, is Connor Hellebuyck going to get the votes to maybe win it? Look, Dominik Hasek was the ultimate MVP from a goaltending perspective. Jose Theodore and Carey Price both won, but it was kind of like, okay, like they were good, but not like Hasek was dominant. Hellebuck's having one of those dominant years. He could be that guy, but Draisaitl is definitely, for me, the MVP of this season. Without him, the Oilers, maybe they don't make the playoffs because McDavid hasn't had the fantastic season that we all know that he could have, and Draisaitl has basically been putting the team on his back. So for me, Draisaitl is the MVP this year when, you know, especially him coming back and getting those two goals and getting over 50.
He leads in goals, leads in game-winning goals, leads in first goals, leads, I think, in even-strength points across the NHL. If he's not the leader, he's tied for the lead. So
he is tied with Nathan MacKinnon for 73 yeah. even-strength point.
So it's so impressive how consistent he has been. I mean, even... like, I get it. Matthews had a 60 and a 69 as far as goal scoring. Those are his two 50-goal seasons.
Yeah.
Like, Draisaitl's got four of them. It is truly remarkable. And he could be the only 50-goal scorer this
year. Most likely will be.
Like, Nylander's been hot, so I won't rule it out. He's been, you know, but that's saying something, I think, in this season of the NHL. So, another...
Nylander has eight games to get eight goals.
Right.
So he would have to be on an incredible, like, run to get to 50. But this could be the season where we only see one 50-goal scorers, and that would be Leon Draisaitl. And it's not that scoring has been down this year. No, it hasn't. Look, power play scoring and power plays have been down this year, but scoring has been at the same rate. It's just
no power plays are spread. Up, I believe. Dreger talked about it. Everything's over 20%. That's the thing.
No, power play percentage, but the power plays, like there's been 100 less power play in the NHL this year. And if you considered power play goals that would come with that. So it's not like the goals have not been there. It's just that it's been more spread around the general sense of the players.
Okay, well, as we look at the goal-scoring leaders in the NHL and wonder whether Nylander can be the second 50-goal scorer, Thompson, okay, let's do this exercise. Who scores 40? Thompson?
Thompson does, yes.
Point?
Point, and Kyle Connor will get there as well.
Ovechkin? Obviously.
Ovechkin needs five, right?
He needs three. To get to 40.
Well, yeah, he needs five to get to the best Gretzky. So I'm saying he'll get to 40.
Jake Guentzel, three away. Obviously. You're not playing along. Sam Reinhart, 36.
No, I think anybody that's got 36 and less won't get there.
Oh, my gosh.
Scheifele, Reinhart, Tavares, Pasternak.
John Tavares, this is perfect. This is like Jeff, producer Jeff, orchestrated this. Do you know why? I have two. Jeff, come on, show it.
Two what?
Two names. We're stuck in this goal-scoring graphic. Two names on my page. that I'm interested in the summer? Who are they?
Okay, so you're obviously talking about these players that have been performing.
No, man, you don't listen sometimes. Who was the last name on the list that I started then begging profusely? John Tavares,
yeah.
Oh my God. Jeff, does he?
Well, no, not, but
like this, I'm the one that's been claiming hearing issues since September.
I don't want John Tavares.
Do I need to bring him to all the testing that I'm doing?
You got to do more tests. Look, Tavares is a good player. I don't think Tavares is going anywhere but Toronto. So I think, unfortunately, it's not going to happen.
We have Norris, Kulik, McLeod, Kozak. You don't think John Tavares could help?
I think he could help.
Okay.
But Tavares is signing only in Toronto at probably a discounted price just to stay with the Leafs.
Are you willing to then overpay for Sam Bennett? Because they're the only two centers on my list.
Overpaying. So those are centers. I think my centers are all set.
Okay.
When I have Norris, Kulik, McLeod.
I hear you.
So Bennett could play wing, Tavares could play wing, and then you can switch back and forth. I get that. Is Sam Bennett the playmaking winger that I would pay $8+ million a year? Because that's what it's going to take at the very least for Sam Bennett.
Right.
He's not. So would I like a Sam Bennett on my team? Yes. But I'm not going to overpay to bring him in because I don't think that's what I need in my team right now, the way that I have it constructed.
What do you need?
I need a playmaking winger.
Do you have any on your list? I haven't gone down that path.
I have Mitch Marner on my list. You talk about John Tavares. I have Mitch Marner on my list. Mitch
Bring
Marner
them both.
Will get. Well, I'm not bringing John Tavares because he's not coming. But
how do you
know
that? Why are you so locked in on this?
Is John Tavares wanted to play for the Leafs, the whole
he
pajama
did.
Thing.
He's had and 7 years of pajamas in Leafland.
Yeah, and he's still performing, and he will stay there because he's enjoying it.
So is Mitch Marner. Why wouldn't he stay there?
Well, because they may not give him the money that he wants. I will overpay for Mitch Marner. I will give him $14 a year for Mitch Marner for 7 years. Come on, let's go. You're going to play with Norris and Thompson? I'm going to have that top line. Look out. Like, Mitch Marner is my guy, but I don't think that's going to happen either.
Okay. So Marner or Tavares, this or that, more likely to be a Sabre?
Well, I think it would be Marner because right. I really don't think Tavares would leave Toronto. Maybe he can, but I really don't see it happening.
Where is Mitch Marner most likely to play next year?
You know what? I hate to say it, but
oh, no.
Could it be Florida? Could it be like Tampa or Florida, a team that is going to always seem like to be doing the Vegas thing now and swing for the fans? They brought in Brian Marchand, but he's out at the end of the year. He doesn't have a contract, right? Maybe they don't re-sign him. They just brought him in for the rest of the year, and then they're looking at a Marner to come along with their team down there.
Wouldn't Vegas be more likely to do the Vegas thing?
Yeah, Vegas could do the thing. And with the, I think it's those teams that have been very aggressive are going to be aggressive at a Marner if, but why not? I have a t-shirt. Why not us? Like, if you are built the way you're built right now and you look at your roster and you say, we need a top line winger, mm-hmm. like, if one of them comes up on free agency, you don't have to give anything up. You can trade other players to go acquire, maybe help on defense, maybe even help increase, whatever. But you have somebody that all you have to do is overpay to try to make it happen. I would look at Marner and think that would be a good fit.
Do you remember what my mumbling precipitated when we were going through the game highlights and the empty netter last night? Krebs into the empty net for his eighth of the year.
Yes.
What did you think I said?
No, I don't remember what you
said.
What
you thought you heard Jerry Korab with
Jerry Korab. No, it's because it's not what you said. It's what I wrote on my sheet.
Oh,
my crabs okay. look like I wrote Korab for okay. 8 of the year.
Well, I assumed it was my enunciation.
Yeah, no, it was my writing that was terrible.
Okay, well, it caused me to go do the research, and Jerry Korab did, in fact, score one empty net goal as a Sabre. It was in November.
Was it his 8th of the year in late March?
I was so close. He scored an empty netter in Detroit, November 18th of 1978. And the then comparison, the side-by-side, okay, who's going to end their career with more points as a Sabre, Krebs or Korab?
Oh, well, what? I don't know what Korab is at.
Let's see, that's the trick here. That's why I asked it.
I almost had time to pull Jerry Korab's hockey reference page while you were talking, and then my screen went all haywire. So I would think that Korab is ahead of Krebs right now in points.
Yeah, by almost 200. So I'm going to stick with Korab as the higher score. Yes. Jerry, I was slightly off last night. I said 73 to 78. It was 74 to 79 that were his most productive years in Buffalo. He ended with 283 points as a Sabre. Krebs has 88. Right now, we will take the break, come back with best and worst of the weekend here on Sabres Live.